So, friends, this is not standard fare. Okay, right now is the time in the service when we would normally open up God's Word. And at St. George's, when we open God's Word, we open it, whether it's Old Testament or New, looking for the glory of God. That's what we do. We look at Paul's letters, Peter's letters. We look at the Gospels. We look at the life of Old Testament patriarchs, not just as historic documents, so isn't that interesting? We don't just look at those accounts and try to rearrange our mental furniture so that we can get all of our Sunday school stories right. When we open up the Word during the sermon, we are looking and asking the question, how does the glory of God shine through this? How does it speak to me and to my life and to my biggest issues? That's what we do. And so this morning, in some ways, is very different because we're not going to be looking at the life of Abraham or looking at the life of Moses or of Noah or whomever. Instead, we're going to be looking at the life of two men in our church, Blair and Joe. But we're going to be asking the exact same question. How does the glory of God shine through this? You see, in the same way that we look at Noah's life and we say, well, Noah shows the glory of God because by his faithfulness, eight people were saved, his immediate family members. Then what we say is, but Jesus is a greater Noah because those folks went on to die, but Jesus, by his faithfulness, saves all of his family. That's the way we approach the life of Noah. We're going to use this story as an entry point and a window into looking at the very grace and glory of God. Are you with me? That makes sense? Okay, so I've asked these guys to share a bit of their story. Blair, why don't you start us off? You've been sick for a while. Why don't you tell us that journey?
Okay. I guess in 2000, I was healthy, and I married Rochelle, my wife. And so thinking that, you know, this is married life, it's good. But shortly after, about 2001, we were married for about a year. And I started to get sick with Crohn's disease. Sorry.
Okay.
So that, you know, I thought, okay, well, we'll just go to the doctors and they'll give me some pills and everything will be fine. And what, 2 weeks, maybe back to normal. But it wasn't. It was facing the fact that this was something I have to deal with. But at the same time, they were trying to figure out what was going on with my stomach. They found that I also had
It's okay.
I'm going to be taking lots of pauses here. But I also had a liver disease as well. And I was warned about, I guess it was, 11 years ago that I would one day probably need a transplant. But at the time, that just seemed like kind of an afterthought because the stomach issues were so bad. And I thought, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'll just deal with that whenever the time comes. So the real struggle for the first, I don't know, maybe 6 years of since I found out was my stomach problems. And I was hospitalized every couple months, it seemed, for treatment. I remember when, and really this was the start of mine and Rochelle's faith in God, which is kind of odd, but maybe it's not that odd, but it definitely brought us closer to God. And the one time the first time we really had to trust God was Rochelle was pregnant with our daughter Avery, so this was just over 9 years ago. I was in the hospital for about five weeks. Rochelle was just starting to have to leave work. Both of us were freelance artists, so we had no maternity leave or sick leave or anything like that. And I was in the hospital without knowing when I'd get out. And I remember specifically me and Rochelle praying to God that time, and for provision and for work and things like that. And it turned out from that day, no matter how sick I was or how what had happened in the future, I didn't miss a day of work. I'd always had, you know, I had always had work, and to this day, I don't think I've missed a day. Like before doing freelance, there'd be you know, weeks or months that we would be unemployed, but with the both of us working, it was fine. But since that day, I've never missed a day.
And, but in fairness, Blair, I visited you in the hospital when you're laid up and yellow and unable to move, and you're still drawing.
Well,
right. So why don't you tell us about how did hardship, how did suffering or sickness bring you to Jesus? Tell us that story.
Oh, I think it was just the trust. There was no way that we could do it on our own, and there were so many unknowns with being sick. And at this point, I was saying I was down to 114 pounds, and I couldn't do anything. It was probably the worst I've ever been, even worse than this. But we just learned to trust God. I mean, it became apparent pretty quick that there was no way that we could fix things on our own, and so it was just a matter of putting our trust in something, in someone, and from that day forward, He's always proved faithful to us.
Blair, what's the difference? I know in my own life that there's a big difference between trusting myself to the Lord and entrusting my family to the Lord.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, that came a little after. I think that didn't come at the same time. I mean, that might have just happened a few years ago. But it was because there's always that fear. I didn't fear myself dying or anything happening to me, but I did feel fear for my family. So, but yeah, it was just once I did, I remember praying one time and I had a kind of a vision about, you know, if I was to die and I was with Jesus, and it's more just like an image that stuck in my head. But, you know, I remember looking back and my family was there, but one look at Jesus, it was kind of like, it's like, well, you trust me, don't you? And I thought, yeah. It's like, well, why would you not be able to trust me with your family if you really do trust me? So then from then I just kind of felt that no matter what happens to me, He's not going to, you know, He's not going to leave a widow and children without provision as well. So,
amen.
So yeah.
Just amen. Why don't you pass the microphone to Joe? So that brings us up to a few years ago. How did you guys meet, Joe?
Sorry, I'm a little under the weather.
Cutting onions.
When I first moved to Ontario, it was about, I guess it was like almost 9 years ago. And I came to St. George's like almost right away. My parents were going, so and within the first few Sundays, my mom introduced me to Blair and Rochelle, and they had just joined an Alpha group, Alpha small group, that Ed and Diana were leading, and so I joined the group, and you know, we met for a few years. Neil and Donna were also in the group. It was a great group. We grew a lot in Christ, I witnessed a great growth in Blair and Rochelle because they were relatively new Christians, asking a lot of questions and stuff, and that was really great. And of course, for as long as I've known Blair, like, he's been sick.
Yeah.
And
yellow.
And he went not as yellow, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, he was, yeah. But he's always been sick, so that's always been a struggle, and we'd be praying about his sickness and stuff like that during the times we met in a small group. And even back then, he mentioned things like going, you know, needing a transplant, but he's like, I don't know if I want that. You know, it's you know, a long way down the road, kind of what he was saying. And at the time I was like, well, you know, maybe I could, if needed to, if a donor, because at the time I think he mentioned that it would be a live donation. So I was like, maybe, but I guess there doesn't seem to be any urgency right now. So never really gave it much more thought. So the years went on, and we ended up starting another small group, and I'm still in that same small group. Then Blair got really sick. Blair got sick, and he got put on the transplant list around this time last year. And at the time in my life, things were a little crazy. I was moving, and there's other stuff going on, and I was like, well, I wish I could help, but you know, I wish I could step forward, but I just can't. This was in my, you know, my mom was going through cancer, as most of you know that and stuff. So at the time I was like, well, I can't really step forward. I never really talked to Blair about this at all. A few months passed and, you know, I settled in, my mom was better, cancer's in remission and stuff. So in July, Blair got really sick again. He was in the hospital for pretty much the entire month. And I was thinking, man, I wish I could help out. And then I was like, wait a sec. My schedule is not that busy anymore. You know, I'm pretty much settled in now. And, you know, so I was like, maybe I can do this. So, hey, Blair, send me the forms, you know. And so he sent me, like, these questionnaire that you fill out, like health questionnaire and stuff. And kind of started the whole process. So from July onwards, I'd be needing to get blood tests or going down into Toronto and spend a day there. I had a liver biopsy a couple of weeks ago and stuff like that. And it turned out that was a match. So they just set a date.
October 17th,
which we're gonna talk a few about days that. From now.
But it sounds to me like the journey of being ill was a journey that brought you to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of God's work and his glory in your journey. Joe, what was it like coming to a place, because you'd been walking with the Lord your whole life, but how did the Lord shape and conform your character in bringing you to that place where you said, I think that the Lord is calling me to do this? Tell us about that.
Well, often for me, when like the Lord's leading me somewhere, it's never like thus saith the Lord, you know, kind of thing. Well, not usually. It was just kind of like, you know, planting a seed and something growing. So like, you know, years ago when Blair mentioned, you know, he might need a transplant, I was like, I'm a healthy guy. I don't have a family. Like, I don't have kids or dependents or anything. I don't really need, you know, that's not a big concern in my life. So just like things kind of fit together. And then, you know, doors were opening. I would say, okay, well, I'll fill out the forms and see if, you know, I'm the same blood type as Blair. And, you know, it turned out I was. So that was a door opening. That wasn't God closing the door. And it's kind of a similar process in how we've ended up buying a property for the church. The same type of thing, like the doors.
Walking through the open doors.
Yeah. So that's how I kind of determine God's will. You know, I talk to my family and friends and, you know, get their feedback. I think that's really important when you're making a big decision in your life.
Yeah. But Joe, there's also a sense that it's not only walking through obvious doors, but there has to be a willingness on your part, an openness that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? How would you, I mean, it's not a natural decision to wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to give 60% of my liver to a friend. There has to be a shaping and a conforming and an openness and a tenderness to the Lord's leading. And I know that might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a long story. I don't really want to bore you about my 10 years of my spiritual walk. I've had things in my life that, you know, I've discovered things through, you know, various people teachings, like books and teachings and stuff like that. And just about being willing, you know, being willing, a willing soldier kind of for Christ. And, you know, I think about that a lot right now, like in terms of following God's leading and his commands and God just being willing and able, kind of like a soldier is, right? The soldier's just like, I'm here, use me, you know, like,
That's a good picture.
You know, and then I, you know, when the call happens, I take it, kind of thing.
I know, Joe, that you're very humble about this. In fact, when Joe and I were talking a while ago, he said that he was going to avoid posting it on Facebook. You know, maybe one post just so that some people could pray about it. But Joe's heart in this is not that we would all look at him and say, wow, what a great guy. But, wow, what a great guy. And, wow, what a great God that would be the example and set that out for you and call you to do that. It's the picture of what Neil read to us from John 15, where Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. That's the picture of what we're seeing. And anyone who has interacted with this story tends to go to that place. They say, look at the grace of God at work in Joe's life, that he would do this for his friend. But Blair, what's it like accepting a gift like this?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We're not here, but what do you say? What do you do? You know, obviously, I've told Joe thank you. And it has. It's really made me realize that, just like with Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, you can't repay that with anything. We can't do anything, and it'd be foolish for me to try and, you know, repay Joe in the way that we would think, you know, wash his car and do everything he says. I don't know. I just,
you could try.
Yeah, I could try. Well, I could try it. I probably will if he asks me. But it really does. It's humbling, and it's you can't repay someone for that. So I can be there for him. I can, you know, do all that, but I just, it's you're at a point of humbleness where there's, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear
there's
that.
No way, and just like it's foolish with Jesus to think I'm going to repay him by doing good works and repay him that way. You can't.
You know, we started off saying that we were looking in this for the glory of God being revealed, and one of the most obvious ways to me that God's glory is revealed in this is that it is the picture of what Jesus has done for all of his people, where we are sick with an illness that we cannot fix ourselves, we're helpless to cure ourselves, he comes along and in our place willingly lays down his life, and we're left the way Blair is, saying, how could I possibly say thank you? I feel so, why would you, I just can't. And the point is, that's the grace of God being poured out on our lives. And in the same way, Jesus is a greater Joe. Do you know what I mean by that? Joe gives 60% of his liver, and not to downplay what he's doing, but Jesus has done so much more for us. That's the glory of God shining forth in this. And I want to thank you guys for sharing that with us. You can ask him after, okay?
Yeah.
We're not going to open it up to questions, or we'll be here all
Joe's
day.
Joe's liver is going to be working as soon as it gets
there,
inside.
Is there anything that you guys wanted to say before we pray for you?
Well, I just wanted one clarification about just, because I did mention, I forgot to mention, like I have had stomach problems and I have had liver problems, and by the grace of God, I've never had them both acting at the same time. Partway through, when my liver started to be a problem, my stomach problems were essentially healed through. And it's just funny, one little thing is that when we pray with my kids, you know, Avery, she always prays that, you know, she connects the liver and the stomach together. And so whenever she would pray for my liver, she'd always pray that I would get off my diet, special diet that I was on. I was controlling my stomach problems through a very strict diet. And this summer, and I always thought, yeah, that's nice, but probably won't happen. But keep praying for me anyways. And and this summer, I was doing some treatment for my, what I initially was going to try for my liver, some different things. And in the process, it actually fixed my stomach problems. And for the last couple of months, I've been able to tolerate any foods that I would like. So
praise the Lord for that.
So, yeah, so that's,
you know, that the Lord can heal you.
Yeah, and then and so Avery's prayer was answered, and I have been able to eat different things. And then now through Joe and through the grace of God, you know, God willing, my liver problems will be healed. Amen. So right now I'm looking at the first time in about 11 or 12 years of being healthy. So yeah.
What about that? Joe, is there anything you want to say before we pray?
Sure. One thing that that I was encouraged by just during our daily readings that we're actually doing as a small group together, we're doing the Robert Murray McShane reading program, which is like the Bible 1.5 times through or something like that for a whole year. So it's pretty good, pretty comprehensive. And interestingly enough, the verse that really has helped me in just the last couple days is actually the next chapter over of what we read. it's Jesus talking about just basically a continuation, because this is all Jesus talking, this passage. And it's in verse six, or chapter 16, John 16, verse 22. And he's talking about how the disciples and Christians will suffer until he returns, kind of thing. And it spoke to me. It seemed to fit a little bit with what I'm going through, like personally. I guess it would apply to Blair on a different level as well. But it's in verse 22. It says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you." Sorry, I should have read the other chapter or the verse before. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Your wail will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but she has delivered a baby. But when she has delivered a baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy of the human being has been born into the world." And so that verse there, verse 21, is kind of speaks to me a little bit. It's like, you know, right now I'm healthy, I'm fine. You know, I have a little bit of a cold. Hopefully I'll get better before the surgery. But, I there's this pending, pain that I'm going to have. And, the doctors are saying it's going to be nothing like you've ever felt before, and you're going to feel horrible. And so I'm like, great. But you know.
They told you that after you agreed to do it.
Yeah. but then I this verse comforts me because while I'll be in a lot of pain, like a woman giving birth, when I see Blair healthy, and when I just know that I can praise God and be joyful. So
we're going to do something that we do not typically do. Some of you are going to be a little bit uncomfortable with it, but would you push past your comfort zone this morning? Raise your hand if you're okay with pushing past your comfort zone just a little bit. Well, some of you didn't raise your hands. All right. Joe and Blair are going to go take your stools and sit in the middle of the church. Go ahead, guys. And we're actually going to gather around them, lay our hands on them, and we're going to pray for them. Okay? I'm going to start, and I'm going to close. And in between, pray out as the Lord leads. You guys good with that? All right. Don't be shy. Gather around them. Loving Father, we're humbled. We're humbled at your grace. We're humbled when we look upon these men that we know and love, and see your glory shining through. We're humbled when we see the way that you have not wasted a moment of this, but used it to bring Blair and his family to you. We're humbled when we consider the way that you have conformed Joe's character to being more like Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love these men and we commit them to your tender care. Thank you, Lord.